Well, open your Bibles this morning as we continue to look at why we believe what we believe. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Now, the last time that we were together in studying why we believe what we believe, of course, the last couple weeks we've been studying the Lord's Supper and learning a lot about that, and I guess you could say we were learning why we believe what we believe about the Lord's Supper. But the last time we were actually on this series, we learned about why we believe what we believe about the tribulation. And we all know that one of these days we're going to be raptured out of here, amen? I mean, it's going to happen because the Lord said it's going to happen. And if you say, well, I don't believe that's going to happen, well, then there's a problem, because there are a lot of promises in that Bible. And God does not lie. And the same God that said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, is the same Lord that said that he's going to come back. It's the same Lord that says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall go meet the Lord in the air. And certainly you say, well, I just don't believe in rapture because the word rapture is not found in the Bible. Well, that's a weak excuse, because the word Bible is not found in the Bible. Does that mean your Bible does not exist? I mean, just because the word is not found in the Bible doesn't mean that the concept is not there. I agree, the word rapture is not found in the Bible. But the phrase, the catching out, or being caught up, is found in the Bible, and that means rapture. That's what rapture means. It means being caught up. And so certainly it is found in the Bible. Now, when we learned the last time that we were studying this, we learned about the why we believe what we believe about the tribulation. And we learned that there are three different beliefs when it comes to the tribulation, okay? There are those today that say that that all believers of this age are going to go up in the middle of the tribulation after the first 3.5 years, okay? And they believe that believers today will go through there. But we disproved that, because we showed in the Bible where the whole tribulation is known as the time of Jacob's trouble, okay? Before this age that you're living in began, God worked with the nation of Israel. And all the way through the Old Testament, it was about the nation of Israel, how God gave the promises to the nation of Israel. I'm going to bring the nation of Israel into the promised land. And the Lord says, if you'll obey my commandments, my statutes, you'll have all these promises. But if you do not obey my commands and my statutes, then your enemies will dominate you. You'll be scattered throughout all the countries. And of course, we see that today. I mean, they didn't obey God, and so they're scattered throughout. But I want you to understand this. Israel as a nation is still God's chosen people. They are still the apple of God's eye. He has not forsaken Israel, okay? How do we know that? Because if he had forsaken them, there would never be a time of retribution. There would never be a time where he puts them through that to bring them around, to get them ready for their Messiah. He's not done with them, okay? But he worked with the nation of Israel all the way to the cross, and then after the cross, that's when he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation today is not just of the Jews. Salvation today is not just a nation. Salvation today is every individual. That's the reason in the body of Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. It's for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But one of these days, that time is going to come to an end at the rapture. Okay, that's when all those who have called upon the name of the Lord that are saved, all those people are going to be raptured out, and then once they're raptured out, then again, God is going to be working with the nation of Israel again, the same way it was before this age began. Now, here's the thing. We know that it is called the age of grace, but we do not know how long this age is going to last. Remember, here a while back, I gave you a sheet of paper that showed what the prophets could see back here in the Old Testament, and they wrote about it. They couldn't see this age. They could see the tribulation. They could see the return of Christ, but they couldn't see this age. It's the age where God says, okay, I'm gonna pour my grace out upon the whole earth. It doesn't matter who you are. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Aren't you glad that you're in that age? Hey, listen, if you're saved because of that day, you're saved by the grace of God. In an age that nobody saw, but God saw it, okay? Now, we know that once the tribulation starts, that is a time of Jacob's trouble. In other words, having to do with Israel, okay? It is not the time of the church's trouble. Listen, we are the bride of Christ. And there is a marriage supper that's going to take place. For him to send his bride through tribulation, now we're not talking about just going through bad times. Like, for instance, you know, if your car didn't start this morning and you had to walk 10 miles to get to a phone, you might look at that as tribulation. But that's not the same thing as the tribulation going on here. Okay, that Bible says that during that time, it'll be the worst time that this earth has ever seen or ever shall see. Now, think about how bad things have gotten on this earth before. Think about how bad it was when Nero was running Rome and they were feeding Christians the lions. Think how bad it was when Adolf Hitler in World War II and he were killing 6 million Jews. Bad times, amen? There's a depression and all these different things. But there's a time coming and a world leader that's coming that's going to make all of them look like schoolboys. I mean, the worst time that this earth has ever seen is going to be this time, and that time is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. But there are still people today that believe that we're going to go up at halfway through this. But because it's not about us, the scriptures disprove that. Okay? So you have the mid-tribulational rapture that some people believe, and then, quite possibly a little bit nutty, but here it is, there are some people that believe that we're going to go up at the end of the tribulation. Now, there's some things wrong with that, but the main scriptures that disprove that is like 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that says, "For we are not appointed unto wrath." That's what the Bible says. We're not appointed unto wrath. You read Revelation chapter 16, and you'll find out that there are vials of wrath poured out upon this earth during this time. Now, if we're not appointed unto wrath, then how are we going to be here? How are we going to go through that? You can't be on this earth without facing the wrath of God during the tribulation. Read what happens to this earth. I mean, all the creatures in the sea die and all these natural disasters, and that's not even counting the Antichrist, who says that if you do not take the mark and worship him, you're going to be put to death. I mean, during that time is the worst time this earth has ever seen or ever shall be because of the wrath not only of God, but the devil's wrath as well. If you read Revelation chapter 12, it says he's put down upon this earth. He knows that he has a very short time and his wrath. And it says, woe be unto them that inhabit the earth when the devil is cast down. Why? Because you have his wrath and you have God's wrath. But hey, we're not appointed under wrath. Amen. We're not going to be here. So that is disproven. Not only that, but Christ comes back, Revelation chapter 19, with us. So it'd be like we go up like a yo-yo. Up and right back down. Makes no sense, amen? And it's not scriptural, okay? So why do we believe what we believe? Because the scriptures tell us that we're not appointed under wrath, that we're not the nation of Israel. If you realize that there are some people today that try to equate the church today with the nation of Israel, they say the same thing. No, it's not. Not at all, okay? And so why do we believe what we believe? Well, we are what they call pre-tribulational. We go up right here. Why? Because we're not appointed unto wrath, and we're not the nation of Israel. We are believers of this age. Okay? And when we go up, this age will come to a close, and it'll go back the same way it was. We are pre-tribulational rapture. Now, that's what we learned the last time we were there, and it's kind of just a little bit of a review. Now, this morning, we're going to look at another thing that's very similar to it, and I'm again going to show you three different views on what people believe. Now, whereas last time we were together, we looked at why we believe what we believe when it comes to us being pre-tribulational. But this morning, I want us to look at where we stand and why we believe what we believe when it comes to the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial reign of Christ. Now, the Bible speaks of millennial reign of Christ in many places. But there, in fact, if you're reading your Bible through, you're going to find probably more spoken of about the second coming of Christ than any other subject. You know why that is? Because the whole Bible is about a king. The whole Bible is about who's in charge, who the top dog is. You know, you started all the way off back there at Genesis, and it says that Adam was given dominion over this earth and the creatures. Well, who has a dominion? Kings. Okay? And then after that, we know that the devil is a prince and power of the air. What's a prince? Somebody that's supposed to be in line to be king. Okay? And so you have this. How many of you understand that there have been people in this world who have tried to take over the whole world? Have they been successful? No, they haven't. there's going to be one that's still going to try to take over the whole world, the Antichrist, during the tribulation. Is he going to be successful? Nope. Because he will bring his armies against Jerusalem to go in there and destroy that city. When he brings all of his armies against Jerusalem, and that's really the only thing he's got left, he'll come just short of ruling the whole world at that time. You know why? Because the real king's coming. The real king's coming. There's only going to be one king who will rule over this whole earth, absolute rule over this whole earth, and it's been Christ since the beginning. People have tried it all the way through, and people have worried, hey, if this guy is here, he's going to take over the whole world. That's not going to happen, folks, because there's only one who can rule the whole world, and he's going to come back right there at the beginning of the millennial reign at the end of the tribulation. That's where he comes back. But there are people today that teach some different things when it comes to the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I want you to bear in mind here that even though some of the things that we're going to look at this morning, you may think they're silly, but bear in mind that people do believe these things, okay? And so I'm not here to downplay them. I'm just here to show you what they believe and why it's wrong, okay? And we can prove it by scriptures and then show you what we believe. All right, in Revelation chapter 20. Now, as I was going to tell you a while ago, before I kind of got sidetracked, when you're reading your Bible, you're going to find out that there is a lot of information on the second coming of Christ. I mean, a lot. And boy, you start reading some things, this earth is going to be totally different than it is today. I mean, yes, we understand there's going to be righteous rulership and there's going to be righteous laws and all those things. And I'm really looking forward to that, because do you realize during the millennial reign of Christ, there will be no political commercials? Amen? None of that. Because, listen, we already know who's going to run the roost, and it isn't going to be a democracy. Now, I hate to break that to you, but it's not going to be. It's going to be a king ruling, okay? It's going to be technically a theocracy is what it's going to be, God ruling from the throne, all right? But that's what it's going to be. There's not going to be a democracy. There's not going to be a vote. But every rule will be absolutely righteous, and there will be no crooked politicians. There will be no lying politicians. None of that. Now, we're all looking forward to that, but it's much, much better than that. You start to read your Bible about how this earth is going to be, it is going to be absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. I mean, there is going to be, well, we're going to look at some of the things today, but, you know, we read where there's going to be, you know, bears and lions and cows all sitting out there eating in the field. Pretty cool stuff. People, a child, Bible says a child will be able to pick up an asp and sit there and play with it and just, you know, snake, not a problem. Not a problem. It says the earth will produce its fruit. You know, I'm an avid garden grower. I love to grow stuff from the garden. I love fresh vegetables, you know. But during that time, this earth is going to produce its fruit. In other words, there's going to be, the growing is going to be tremendous. People will be able to grow anything they want to, pretty much any time they want to. It's right there in your Bible. You can just read it. There's a lot of things that's going to be going on during the tribulation that would be wonderful things. And so when you read your Bible, you're going to read a lot about what's going to be going on, not during the tribulation, but during the millennial reign. All right, in Revelation chapter 20 is one of those passages that talk about the millennial reign of Christ. Actually, back up to Revelation chapter 19, actually. Revelation chapter 19. And Revelation chapter 19 talks about Christ coming back. That's at the very beginning of the chapter. It says he's going to come back with us. And then it says that he is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Okay. Now in Revelation chapter 20, we're told something that's something else that's going to be really great during the millennial reign. And that is, if you look, I know I keep on telling you bounce back and forth between Revelation chapter 19 and 20. But in Revelation chapter 20, look if you would, starting at verse 1. One of the best things about the millennial reign is this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, boy, isn't that going to be nice? Now, you say, boy, that's great. Him bound for 1,000 years, everybody will just obey God. Everybody will just, you know, serve the Lord for 1,000. I mean, after all, the devil bound up. I tell you what, it is going to be wonderful to know that the devil's bound for 1,000 years. Amen? Amen? Wonderful. But if you think for a second that the devil being bound up is going to stop men from being wicked, you need to read your Bible again. Because you know what the Lord is really doing when he puts the devil, locks the devil up for 1,000 years? He's proving to this world that it doesn't matter. In fact, you'll notice all the way through every single dispensation, the Lord is showing that man is wicked. And it doesn't matter what the consequences or what the setting is or how good or how bad times are. Man is wicked. And he shows you right back there in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Man was put in the garden. Everything was perfect. Perfect. Okay, all he had to do was tend the garden and stay away from one tree. What did he do? He disobeyed God, ate of the tree. He was in a perfect environment. He still disobeyed God. Every single dispensation, God is saying, okay, perfect environment, you disobeyed me. Here, I let you operate according to your own conscience. You disobeyed me. Here, I even wrote the law for you, word for word, so you'd have no, so you couldn't say that I did not know the law. Man still disobeyed me. All right, then I give you into an age here of grace to where all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Still, most people won't do it. All right, he raptures us out. During the tribulation, we know that during the tribulation, for their people to get saved, they're going to have to die, be martyrs. All right, and then even during the millennial reign, the Lord says, okay, I'm going to lock up the devil and everything is going to be perfect. You're going to have a perfect rulership. You're going to have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne and the devil's locked up. But you read at the end of that thing to where even with the devil locked up, the devil is locked up, he's loose for a season. And after the Lord ruling and reigning with absolute righteousness on this earth for 1,000 years, the devil is able to take other people who were under Jesus' rule and gather an army that numbers as the sand of the sea to go against Jerusalem. Why is that? The devil doesn't make you do anything. He only tempts you. Now, you would think that after being under the rulership of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, when the devil come out and start tempting you, you'd be like, get thee behind me, Satan. I've been here for 1,000 years, and I've been under the rulership of Jesus Christ, and I want no part of you because look what you did to this earth before. That's what you would think. But he's going to gather a huge army. And then he's going to try to take Jerusalem again. He's going to try to take the city again, and again he will be defeated, and he'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Okay, and so that is talking about the millennial reign. But certainly, it is still going to be good to know that the devil is going to be locked up for 1,000 years. Okay, now I want to show you this morning that there are three basic views of when it comes to the trip when it comes to the millennial reign. The same way that there were three basic beliefs when it comes to the tribulation, you know, the pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, the post-tribulation. When it comes to the millennial reign of Christ, there are also three views, and what those three views are is you have post-millennial, you have amillennial, and premillennial. Okay, those are the three views that you have in the world today. Okay, and if you start talking to Christians and you start talking about end times and stuff like that, you're going to find out real quick where somebody stands. Okay, so I want to start off this morning by showing you the post-millennial view, and in this view, it is an interpretation of Revelation chapter 20 and Revelation chapter 19 and 20. And what it does, it sees the second coming of Christ as occurring after the millennial reign of Christ. Now, you say, well, wait a second. How could somebody believe that the return of Jesus Christ? Now, remember, this right here is 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years. And you got this time period right there. What they're saying in the post-millennial view is Jesus Christ actually returned to this earth right here. Now, does that seem strange? Well, that's your view, okay? Now, you say, well, what do they believe? Well, they believe that that after Jesus Christ returns, at the end of that 1,000 years, there's going to be a golden age in which Christian ethics prosper on this earth. Now, here's where they get that. In Revelation chapter 20, look if you would at verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They're saying that the rest of the dead are us until the 1,000 years are finished. They said, that's Christians today. Okay? All right? And then it says, this is the first resurrection. That's what they say. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On the on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priest of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What they do, that last part, they take that completely out and say, well, see, this right here is the first resurrection. There's a word there in that passage that I want you to pay attention to. It said, blessed is he that hath what of the resurrection? Part. Listen, when it comes to the resurrection, there are parts to it. One part of that was in Matthew chapter 27. You remember in Matthew chapter 27 where those that were dead, the saints, the Old Testament saints, were seen walking around Jerusalem at the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Listen, that's part of the resurrection. Those people came out of the grave in Matthew chapter 27. Turn to Matthew chapter 27, I'll show you. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 51. Jesus Christ had thus, he had been hung on the cross. And then it says in verse 51, it says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Look at verse 52. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. In other words, Jesus Christ had to be resurrected first. After Jesus Christ was resurrected, it came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Question, is that a resurrection? You betcha. You betcha. In fact, you can look at it as being a rapture. That was part of the first resurrection. Part of it. You say, well, what's another part? You and me going up. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know what that means? That means somebody's going to come out of the grave. Believers of this age. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that are alive and remain shall go up in the air and meet the Lord, go up and meet the Lord in the air. Listen, that's another part of the first resurrection. The second death had no part, had no power over those people, those Old Testament saints that arose right there in Matthew chapter 27. Second death will have no power over you too. That's the reason it says, that's the reason that passage over in Revelation, it does not say, it says, blessed and holy he that is in the first resurrection. It doesn't say that. It says, blessed is he that is holy that hath part in that first resurrection. That's what they're not telling you. Somebody says, oh, that's talking about us. No, that's talking about everybody, because there are different parts of the first resurrection. Amen. All right? And so what they're saying is those dead coming back at the end of the millennial reign is us. No, it's not. No, it's not. We go up here. Revelation chapter 19 tells you that Jesus Christ comes back to this earth with the armies of heaven who have made their robes white. Who do you suppose that is? The second we put on the righteousness of Christ and not our own righteousness, have we made our robes white? Absolutely. You know who the army's coming back with Jesus Christ is? Us. It's us. Okay? But that's what they believe here. Okay? That is the post-millennial view. Okay? And honestly, if you say, well, how come they get something like this? Because what they do is they take Scripture, they subtract from Scripture, and they do not read the Scripture in context. They do not read it in context. Now listen, did the devil use Scripture when he tempted the devil, or when he tempted the Lord in the wilderness? He sure did. Three different times he used Scripture, but he used it out of context. And that's when the Lord, whenever time was the Lord to answer him, he would answer him and put that Scripture back in context. Okay? And so that's what happens. So these people believe that Christ will return and rule at the end of the millennial reign. And they get that by not interpreting Scripture correctly and subtracting from what that verse says there in verse 6, they take out the last part where it says, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They totally take that out. Okay, so that is the post-millennial view. All right, how about those who teach the amillennial view? Well, this view rejects that Jesus Christ will have 1,000-year physical reign on this earth. In other words, they will read there where it says he ruled for 1,000 years, and they'll say, well, that's just really nothing more than a parable. That's like a simile or a metaphor. Well, I can do that to any part of the Bible. And so, well, listen, I actually had a fellow come up to me one time and said, you know, we were discussing scriptures. He goes, well, and I told him some about the book of Job, and he goes, well, Job's just a parable anyway. And I asked him, how do you know that? Well, I mean, anybody who reads the Bible knows that. Well, if that's the case, I could say, well, you know, the whole Bible's just a parable then. Because anybody who reads the Bible just says it. No, you have to be shown that it's a parable. When Jesus said, I am the door, does everybody here understand that that's a metaphor, a simile there? You know, I mean, he's not a door, but he is. He's like, he's as a door. I mean, he's the way in, and nobody gets the Father but by him. We understand that. That's clearly not, I mean, he's clearly not literally a door, okay? But just because there are parables and just because there are similes and metaphors in your Bible doesn't mean everything is. Remember, when you're studying your Bible, you must take things to be literal unless it's absolutely impossible for it to be literal. And you say, well, why is that? Listen, just because it seems bizarre to you doesn't mean it's not true. I'll tell you what, I've seen some really bizarre things. Weird-looking things that I never saw before. But just because when I see something new, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist because I've never seen it before. Listen, have you seen the whole earth flooded? Me neither. But the Bible says the earth was flooded. Now, you just can't write that off as being, well, obviously I've never seen it, so therefore it must be a metaphor or a simile. You can't do that. There are lots of things we've never seen before. Amen? And so, listen, when we think about Jonah being eaten by swallowed by a whale, just because that seems bizarre to us, you just can't mark it off as something that didn't exist. Okay? And so that's, listen, remember that passage over there where Elisha's servant saw the armies coming, and he basically said, Elisha, man, we're going to die. And Elisha prayed, the Lord said, open up his eyes. And when he opened up his eyes, you know what he saw? He saw angels fighting or coming to protect them. Guess what that means? That means there were things that were going on that servant could not see. But that doesn't mean it wasn't going on. The Bible says that we are to entertain angels, we are to be hospitable towards people because we entertain angels unaware. You ever seen an angel where he said, I shook him up, he said he was an angel. No, you haven't. But you've probably seen angels. You probably have. You just didn't know it. Listen, you've never seen it. Does that mean it doesn't exist? How many of you ever seen air? How many of you ever seen oxygen? Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You'd be dead without it. Amen? So things to think about. All right? Now, the amillennial people, they believe that, like I said, the 1,000 years here mentioned is just a symbolic number representing a long period of time, and it's not a literal description. They believe that the spiritual millennial has already begun in this church age where Jesus Christ rules within the hearts of Christians. They say, you're in the millennial reign right now because Jesus Christ is ruling in your heart right now. Oh, there's tons of things wrong with that. Okay, number one, Christ died on the cross how many years ago? About 2,000. Was Paul alive back in those days? Was Jesus Christ in Paul during those days? Absolutely. He was Christ. I mean, when he got saved, the Holy Spirit came within Paul, and Christ was in Paul, and the hope of glory, the same way as it is with you. And there have been other Christians since Paul, right? Well, so much for him ruling within Christians for 1,000 years. It's already been 2,000 years. So there's probably something wrong with that theory right off the bat. Now, here's the other thing. If what they're saying is true, that the rule and reign of Christ is only within the believers, when was the last time you saw a lion and a bear out there in the field eating? Yesterday, we were driving out, and I looked over, and we're up there on top of Gore Hill, and it was the strangest thing. I look over and I see a whole bunch of antelope, but they were standing on the Great Falls bow range right there. And I'm thinking to myself, couldn't you find a better place to stand than that, you know? But you know, and all the time looking out there in the field, and I see antelope and deer and all these things eating out there, I have yet to see a lion and a bear sitting there eating with them. Anybody, I mean, maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Have you seen that? Then we're not in the millennial reign of Christ. That Bible mentions a lot of things that's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ. And if you say that's going on today, you got some big problems with the Scriptures. You got some problems reconciling Scripture. In fact, most of the Bible, you can't reconcile at all, but when it starts to talk about how things are, okay? Now, you say, well, how do they get this teaching? I mean, how do they get to the fact that they think that the millennial reign is going on right now? Well, one of the ways they do is they misinterpret Revelation chapter 6. Turn over to Revelation chapter 6. And I'm going to show you something here, and this is one of the ways that they come up with them saying that the millennial reign is going on right now. Now, what they do with Revelation chapter 6 is they apply Revelation chapter 6 as being going on today. They'll watch the news and they'll say, see, that's what's going on today. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened up one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, the people that believe in the amillennial view believe that this person on the white horse right here is Jesus Christ. And they believe that he's gone out through us today to conquer the world, to bring in the kingdom called kingdom building, basically, is what they teach. And we go out and win people to Christ, so therefore, Christ through us is conquering the world. That is their interpretation of Revelation chapter 6. They put Revelation chapter 6 as being today, and they make that writer being Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to show you here that this writer is not Jesus Christ. Hold your place here in Revelation chapter 16. You must hold your place here because we're going to flip back and forth. I'm going to show you some differences here. Hold your place in Revelation chapter 16 and flip over to Revelation chapter 19. Now in Revelation chapter 19, we know that this is the Lord Jesus Christ because it tells you that it is. Okay? Revelation chapter 19. And you're going to see some contrasts here. Now in Revelation chapter 19, look if you would, starting at verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Well, that sounds kind of similar. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What does that tell you? That says that person right there is the Word of God, that is God himself manifest in the flesh, right there. All right, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him on white horses, clothed in fine linen and clean. Talking about us. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Who is that, folks? It is Jesus Christ himself. Now, we know that writer is Jesus Christ. So, really, the question comes down to, okay, then who's the writer of Revelation chapter 6? I mean, is that Jesus Christ? All right, let's compare them and see what happens. In Revelation chapter 6, it says, and I saw and behold a white horse. Okay, they both own white horses. I'll grant you that. And then it says, and he that sat on him had a bow. Now, if you look there in Revelation chapter 19, this writer had a sword to conquer all nations. Says nothing about a bow. Got a difference there. One's carrying one weapon, another one's carrying another weapon. All right? All right, how about this? Look at Revelation chapter 6 and notice something else. Notice it says here, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him." How many crowns does he have in Revelation chapter 6? One. All right, in Revelation chapter 19, what does it say? It says, verse 12, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns." You've got a difference there. One's wearing one, one's wearing many. One has a bow, one has a sword. All right? All right, how about this? How about, let's see who's following this rider. In Revelation chapter 6, if you read there, it says, hold on a second. In Revelation chapter 6, I tell you to get both of them, and I only get one. Ain't that something? All right, Revelation chapter 6. Notice who's following Revelation chapter 6. It says, "And he opened a second seal, and I heard a second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." So you have him coming in. That's war in red. All right, verse 5. "And then he opened a third seal, and behold, the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the earth.'" So you got starvation. You have a war and starvation coming in. All right. And then look at verse 7. "And when he opened up the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death." All right, that's a horse. And look who followed him. Hell followed him. So you have basically starvation, you got pestilence, you got war, you got death, you got hell. That's who's following this rider in Revelation chapter 6. Who's following the rider in Revelation chapter 19? The armies of heaven. Hell's not in heaven. So when somebody says, "Oh, these are the same rider," no, wait a second, not the same rider. One has one crown, one has many. One has a bow, another one has a sword. One of them has hell, death, pestilence, all these things following. Last time I checked, pestilence and starvation didn't come from heaven. Those are who's following this rider in Revelation chapter 6. They're not the same rider. You say, "Well, then who in the world is this rider in Revelation chapter 6? That is a prophecy about how it's going to be at the tribulation. You say, "Who's that rider?" It's the Antichrist. How many of you understand that the devil has this habit of trying to copy the Lord and everything? And here, listen, honestly, if you did not read your Bibles like you do, do you realize the devil right now could probably deceive you into thinking that you're worshiping the Lord when you're not, you're actually worshiping him? The devil could deceive you to think that he is Christ. You say, "Oh, he'd never do that." Oh, really? Do you know how many people is going to think the Antichrist is somebody to be worshiped? That's the reason they're going to take the mark during the tribulation. Why? People are going to think they're worshiping the Messiah, but they're not. The devil has a way of trying to copy the things of the Lord for deception. You say, like what? Well, how many of you know that there is a church today? Amen? Body of Christ Church. If you're saved, you are placed into the body of Christ, and that body of Christ is the church, according to Colossians chapter 1. Amen. We learned that, right? How many of you understand today that there is another church in this world that says you must be a part of this church in order to go to heaven? You must be sprinkled and do the rosary, be a part of this church. If you're not a part of this church, you're not going to go to heaven. You got one church that's a real church. You got one that's false. You have the real Christ and you have the Antichrist. You have the rider, Revelation chapter 19. You have the rider, Revelation chapter 6. Over and over and over, he is constantly trying to mimic the things of Christ. And the Bible says that there will be many that will be deceived during the tribulation. Many people being deceived. All right? And so, certainly when it comes to this amillennial view, somebody's been deceived. I mean, to think that when Jesus Christ said, I'm going to rule this earth for 1,000 years, and the devil's going to be locked up for 1,000 years, and the armies of heaven's going to follow me when I come back at the beginning of millennial reign, and somehow to say, well, all that's just a metaphor. It really is not going to happen. Somebody's been deceived. We already know that it's been more than 1,000 years since Christ died on the cross. And we also know that that writer in Revelation chapter 6 is not Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to argue. Listen, I think things are getting pretty bad in this world, and certainly there's starvation, and certainly there's wars and rumors of wars. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, it says, but these are just the beginning of troubles. It's going to get worse. You think it's bad out there right now? You ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till this time right here happens. But don't worry, you won't be here if you're saved. Amen? Amen? All right? So that is the post-tribulational view where he comes back here. The amillennial view basically says this right here really is not going to happen at all. It's Christ ruling in your heart today. But what do we believe? We believe in pre-millennial return of Jesus Christ. We believe he's going to come down right here. No. Yes, Jesus Christ is going to return right here at the end of tribulation. Okay? And when he returns right here to tribulation, that's the Battle of Armageddon. That's when the Antichrist has his armies against Jerusalem. He's going to come back right here, and he's going to wipe out those armies. And then he's going to set up his millennial reign, and he will rule for 1,000 years. That's what we believe. You say, well, how come we believe that? Well, for starters, everything that the Bible says the way it's going to be during the millennial reign has not happened yet. You have not seen the bear and the lion out there eating with the deer. Amen? You have not, okay? Plus, there's some other things that the Bible talks about here that I want you to see. For instance, we know that today the devil is not bound for 1,000 years. Amen? I mean, can we all attest to that? Do you realize what you would have to believe to think that the 1,000-year reign is going on right now when that Bible says that the devil will be locked up for 1,000 years? How could you watch the news and think the devil's locked up right now? You think that Bible says that there'll be godly ruling, people ruling righteously on this earth during the millennial reign. Well, good night. I try not to get into political stuff here, but do you see any righteous ruling going on out there? Me neither. Pretty hard to tell me that we're going through the millennial reign. I expected more. Amen. If we're going through the millennial reign right now, I'm just going to be honest and tell you I expected a whole lot more than this, okay? All right, not only that, but it says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Wait a second, I thought you said Christ was ruling. It says here, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what Paul said. Well, listen, if Christ is ruling right now in you, then how in the world is the devil still the ruler and power of the darkness and ruler of the air? Strange. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about, seeing whom he may devour. Thought he was locked up for 1,000 years. You see what's wrong when they start saying that you're living a 1,000-year reign right now? Then they can't reconcile scriptures, because you got one that says he's walking around seeking whom he may devour, and you got another one that says he's locked up for 1,000 years. Which one is it? Got to have some problems there, okay? And so we believe in the premillennial return of Christ. Now, turn if you would over to Zechariah chapter 4. I'll give you a little more time, not much because we're kind of running late, but I know those are the minor prophets, and people don't usually go there a whole lot. Sometimes the pages are even stuck together, so I'll give you a little extra time. Zechariah chapter 14. 14, I'm sorry, 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And Zechariah is one of those books that has a lot to say about the particulars that's going to go on during the millennial reign. And it says in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5, it says this, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now, what do you suppose that's talking about? Well, that's Revelation chapter 19, okay? And that tells you that those people that come with him are the saints. That's us. All right, verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day. Now that's the day when the Lord comes back with his saints. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. Now, what is it talking about there? Well, from Jerusalem, you have two seas. One's the Mediterranean, and the other one's the Dead Sea. And it says living waters are going to go to those seas. Part will go to the Mediterranean, part will go to the Dead Sea. You say, well, why does living waters have to go to the Mediterranean? Well, you read over about the tribulation, you'll find out that all the waters on the earth will turn to blood. And all those animals in the sea will die. All of them will during the tribulation. Bad time. You know how much fish is in the sea? Shrimp? I love shrimp. They're all going to be dead during the tribulation. Everything is going to die. But it says when Christ comes back, these living waters are going to flow, and those living waters are going to flow into the Mediterranean. You know what those living waters are going to do? Going to turn the sea back the way it was. Lots and lots of fish and shrimp. But it also says it's going to flow into the Hinder Sea, the Dead Sea. Question, is the Dead Sea alive today? It's going to be pretty hard you telling me that we're living in during the millennial reign right now then. That Bible says that the living waters will flow in there. There are no living waters flowing in the Dead Sea right now. In fact, they say right now if you lay in the Dead Sea right now, you couldn't even sink in it. There's so much minerals in there that you can't even sink in the Dead Sea if you tried to. The minerals will actually hold you up. Nothing can live in that. Listen, folks, it's pretty easy to see that we're not living in a millennial reign, okay? Pretty easy to see. Now, you say, well, I still don't believe it. Okay. Then I will tell you this. Read all the minor prophets. Read Revelation and see what you come up with. But if that still doesn't convince you, back to Revelation, I want to show you something. Do you realize even the chronological order of Revelation teaches you, not only does it teach you the pre-tribulational rapture, but it also teaches you a pre-millennial reign where he comes back before the millennial reign. You say, what are you talking about? In Revelation chapter 2, you have, 2 and 3, you have them talking about churches. To the church of Sardis, right? To the church of Philadelphia, right? To the church of Ephesus, right? Revelation chapter 2 and 3, right? All right. That's what you see there. You have the church mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. Okay. You have it mentioned. Okay. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, turn to Revelation chapter 4 and look what happens. If this right here doesn't give you a love for the Word of God, I don't know what will. Revelation chapter 4. Something happens that's very important. You got the churches here mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 4. Was John an apostle living in this age? Sure was. Look here, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. What's supposed to sound when the rapture happens? Trump of God's going to sound. And I heard, was as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. What are we going to do when we get raptured out? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. A throne was in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was looked upon like jasper and sardine stone, and basically describes the throne of God, and it describes Jesus Christ himself being there. All right? So what happens? You have the church here, and then all of a sudden you have somebody going up. Amen? He goes up, and at the sound of a trump, he goes up. And what does he see? He sees the throne of God. Church, something goes up. Guess what you do not see at all for the rest of the book of Revelation until you get to Revelation chapter 19. You'll see somebody going up right here. And everything else from Revelation after Revelation chapter 4, you have nothing but the tribulation described. All the way through. Until you get to Revelation chapter 19, and guess what? You got somebody coming back down. And who is it? Us. The church. And Christ coming back down. When does he come down? When does he come down? He comes down right here. Why? Because it says that he's going to rule for 1,000 years, and that's when the devil's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. So he's going to come up here. So guess what you have? You have Revelation, the church right here. You have John going up, which is showing the church going up right here. You have the rest of Revelation right here, talking from Revelation chapter 5 all the way to Revelation chapter 19. Or Revelation 18. You have that talking about tribulation. Revelation chapter 19 has him coming back. And guess, after Revelation chapter 19, talks about how he's going to rule this earth with a rod of iron. Revelation chapter 20 says the devil's going to be locked up for 1,000 years. 1,000 years is talked about. And then what's talked about? It's talking about the great white throne of judgment that happens when? At the end of the 1,000 years. Do you realize the chronological order of Revelation itself tells you that we are pre-tribulational and pre-millennial? Now listen, if what they say is true and we go up in the middle, then the book of Revelation is wrong. If it's what says it's true, then and we go up in tribulation at the end of the tribulation, then the book of Revelation is wrong. Why? Because John would be going up right here at Revelation chapter 19. But he wasn't. We were coming back then. How many of you understand what I'm saying here?
Yep. Amen.
Your Bible tells you. If somebody says, why do we believe what we believe when it comes to pre-tribulational and pre-millennial? Well, it's simple. Because that's what your Bible says. That's what your Bible says. Anybody have any questions?